Okay, well, I haven't been here for a while, but I hope I can find a couple of brave child volunteers. Can I have two, maybe? Anybody willing to come up? There's something good in it. You won't be sorry. Anyone? Oh, I don't know. Let's go 12 and under. Anybody? Just two. Oh. Well, I'm not going to push anybody. How about older? Anybody brave enough who's older? That guy? Matthew? Okay, you want to come up? Oh, that's okay. Do we got two? Okay, come on up here. I got something for you. It's free. And at the end, I've got good news for anybody who couldn't raise their hand. All right, do you want one of these, Anthony and Reka? Just pick one. Okay, Reka, you can pick one. Anthony, it's free. God bless you. Reka, next time you get something to share, will you think of me first? Will you think of me next time you have something to share? Okay, all right. Thanks. God bless you both. Yeah. Now, were those granola bars, were they both free? Were they? Oh. Something, yeah, there was something attached to the second one. Who got the free granola bar? Anthony got the free granola bar, right? I've been thinking a lot lately about things that are free and what makes something free. You know, when we think about things that are free, especially I think in the way that we're taught here in the West, you know, we think that there's nothing attached. There ought to be nothing attached. Webster's 1828 says something that's free is not gained by importunity or by purchase. And a more modern definition from Merriam-Webster just simply says without charge. And very little in this world seems to be really free. The other day, and I thought this was perfect, I've been thinking about this for some time, I was at Lowe's and I was approached for a free water test. Free water test? It was intriguing. I signed up for it. But it wasn't free. It was an hour-long commercial in my house for a water treatment system. And I knew that. I just didn't know how much would be required of me. When I was in college, I remember there were people out on the streets offering free pizza. Free pizza. But it wasn't really free. You had to fill out a credit card application, get a credit card. And of course, that comes with its own bondages and its own trouble. So I had to wonder, what is free in our society? What's really free? Well, goodwill is free. At least it's supposed to be free. A genuine friendship is free. It shouldn't cost anything, and yet it requires an investment, right? To really have a friend, a mutual investment. But for all practical intents and purposes, it's free. And I have to wonder sometimes, when you give something to somebody, and give anything to someone, is there really nothing attached? Do you ever think about that? When you give something to someone, does it really come free? Really? Like, even if that's how it's offered, if that's what's stated, if that's what you say, was it really free? Sometimes I'm not so sure about my own heart, and I wonder, you know, in giving something, we ought to give it with no strings attached, and that includes expectations for maybe some good deed in return later. I think that's something that Jesus talked about. Well, another thing that's supposed to be free is the gospel. I wanted to start with a passage in Matthew 10, verses 5 to 10. this is Jesus instructing the 12, and it's notable that he had just given them not just the message of the gospel, but also power, it says, against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So they had been given this power. And here's what Jesus tells them as he's sending them out to go and preach. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat." Here Jesus is setting the pattern with his 12 disciples that miracles and the gospel of the kingdom are supposed to be free. That word freely in the Greek is a word dorein. That means, the rough translation is, without cause, freely, or for naught. The ESV translators rendered it this way: heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Throughout the New Testament, Paul continues this pattern, and it's a recurring theme in some of his epistles. The idea that the gospel is given freely or free of charge. In Romans chapter 5, the gospel is referred to as a free gift of God. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul makes a special mention of laboring in the gospel for free. And I thought I might read that. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 through 12. "But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or in any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each of you, and encouraged you, and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." So, Paul was sharing the gospel, and he shared it not with a pretext for greed, the passage says. It was a message intended to be shared at no cost to the recipients. He also says in there that it was intended that it would not be a burden to any of you, that their being there would not be a burden to anyone who was there. In the second letter to Thessalonians in chapter 3, he touches on it again. And there's just a couple verses where he mentions it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. "For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you." It was really important to Paul as he was evangelizing and sharing the gospel with people, that at least to the recipients it would come at no cost, that it should be delivered without charge. And one of the strongest references comes in his boasting to the Corinthians. In chapter 11, verses 7 to 9. While they're bearing with him in his folly, he says this: "Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted because I preached God's gospel to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. And when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way." There are other examples, other references in the New Testament, but those are enough just to get the general idea. And as I was thinking about this, as I was studying this idea of things that are free, of the gospel being free, a bit of a paradox emerged to me. Think again about what Jesus said in Matthew 10. Early in the chapter, he equipped them with supernatural power to perform miracles. And, of course, the message of the kingdom of heaven, or the gospel. And he said, "Freely you have received, freely give." To me, when I read that, it seems to indicate something different than the idea of being free or without charge that we've been exploring. The recipient who receives this gospel pays nothing for it. But when they accept the gospel, there is now a charge to also give it freely. In other words, it's a free gift that costs us sharing with other people. The paradox doesn't stop here. I couldn't find the exact quote, but an atheist skeptic writing years ago in an article that I read expressed it this way, and he said, "Evangelicals preach the free gift of salvation that comes at the low, low price of everything you have." And although it was meant as a criticism, this author's perceived evangelical hypocrisy or inconsistency, there's really a lot of truth in his words. The idea of a free gospel that costs everything is best summed up by Jesus himself in two very short parables. In Matthew chapter 13, the passage is verses 44 to 46. This is what he says: "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it." The men in these two parables discovered items of inestimable value. The knowledge of them was free. But then they sold everything to obtain that thing that they had found for free. So how can it be? How can something be free and yet cost everything? And as I was thinking about it, the conclusion I came to was, it is because in losing everything, we gain everything. And I'll let the words of Jesus explain. In Mark chapter 10, 28 to 31. Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. The older I get, the more comfortable I am with mysteries, like the mystery of a freely shared gift that costs the recipient everything, the mystery of something that we receive for free but comes at a condition that on accepting it, we would be sharing it with others. And I had to think that when we share the gospel, we should share it freely as Jesus instructed, but we should also bear in mind that if the recipient accepts it, it'll cost them everything. Giving up their lifestyle, relationships will be in jeopardy. A free gift that cost everything and with everything to gain. I also thought that when we endeavor to give free gifts, we should really make them free. Make them free of any strings attached, whether it's an expectation that's unspoken or whether it's a condition that, hey, when you get something nice, Reka, remember me and share with me first. So that was my encouragement this morning. And for all those who didn't raise their hands, I have, as long as it's okay with your mom and dad, I've got granola bar for you to be had after the service, if you just come see me later. God bless you all. Open it up for comments.
Appreciate that, and I think I could think about that for a long time and all its implications and applications. But I mostly wanted to say thank you and just share a few thoughts that I had. Like, I guess it kind of strengthened what I already believe about how we ought not to be charging people for any, you know, especially for, yeah, any kind of preaching, writing, things we do of that nature. Like if it's related to the gospel, I think the apostles and Jesus and the apostles' instructions are that we should freely give. I just had to. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't even launch into this, but I had to think of how our service and our time and all those kind of things that we give, we should freely give as well, like Jesus would have given us the example of. And then but then and I think it ties in with what you're saying, is like the fruit that you want to see, the fruit that you'd hope to see, and this is maybe where it's kind of paradoxical or a mystery. The fruit that you'd hope to see is that the person would also be of such a mind. It's kind of like what Paul said to, I think, the church in Philippi, or no, maybe it was some other church. He was urging them to give. And then he said, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that abounds to your account. That's what he wanted to see in them. And you know how, if anybody has experienced this, at least know how it feels like when you, sometimes when you give something to someone, and it's either not really appreciated, or you kind of get the sense that the person feels like you owe it to them. It takes all the joy out of giving it. And I think, you know, I'm sure God feels that way if we somehow think he owes us whatever, salvation, he owes us. But rather he would like to see us have that heart that he has, that freely gives, and freely we received it and then freely give. And just one more thing to add in there. You know what keeps a lake, a freshwater lake, fresh? Is it freely receives water and it freely gives it out. And that's the only thing that keeps it a freshwater lake. The Dead Sea, which is called the Dead Sea. It's so dead, there is no life in it at all. It only receives and it never gives. There's no outlet in the lake. All water runs into it and there's no water running out of it. We should be freshwater lakes that have hearts that spring forth with water freely as we have received. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Max, for getting into a subject that's really important, I think. I can speak of some experiences and then kind of what I believe and what understanding I have, and it's very similar to what I heard Dwayne say. I want to read this verse in Isaiah 55. I think this kind of explains God's heart in the matter. Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water, and he that hath no money, come you, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without price." Oftentimes there's seeking these things out. There's like something in the prophets or something out there, and that really kind of exposes where how God feels about it. And I thought of that verse. And anyhow, based on that and based on the New Testament, what the apostles did, they rebuked people that wanted to buy the Holy Spirit with money. And then Max quoted all the verses. I think if today we see someone going around charging for whatever they're preaching, I think it's just a bad light. It's just, I guess, another thing to the Old Testament would describe for watching out for false prophets would be if they're money hungry or they charge. I'm not sure if I have a verse for that one, but as far as my experience goes, I remember when I first started, when we left the Amish, I got in contact with a tape ministry, and free of service, they would offer all kinds of messages to us, and me and my wife really enjoyed them. We listened to them, and there came a time though when it just felt like something not quite right, not too sure what direction this church and these people are going. And with some communication with other brothers and visiting these places, it seemed like it's not quite right. And so we switched some gears and literature and stuff, and we came to literature that actually did charge a little bit. It charged, but it seemed somewhat more sound, you might say. But it just never settled on my belief and what I believe about charging for, a publication, just going and charging for things. And anyhow, that's a little bit of my experience. One was free of charge, yet it didn't quite seem sound. The other one charged and seemed a little more historic, you might say. Yet, I don't think it's given in the purest form if it's being charged for like that. And just can't quite count it totally historic or sound if the apostles didn't do it. Or even for sure if the apostles had things to say about it that weren't good. And Jesus himself, just expressing. And then all the way back to God's heart, like, oh, if we thirst, we can come to God without charge. That's what he has to offer. And shouldn't we have that same heart? And so thanks for bringing up that topic. It's a good thing to be reminded of. God bless you all.
Yeah, Brother Max, yeah, thank you for that. Just taking a look here at Matthew 10, verse 8 in the Greek. I guess a literal translation would be, either you received or you took a gift. So give a gift would be literal. I know some scholars want to argue, or I guess if you don't know Greek, I can't go into too much explanation for you to know what I mean by what I'm about to say, but they want to take the word that would be gift and say, oh, this is an adverb, so it's freely is the idea, but it shares the root of the word for giving, the action of giving, so it's the noun for it, a gift. So, yeah, you took a gift, give a gift. does that imply free or not free? I mean, you could argue it, but that's not literal, because then it gets into the whole point that I think Max is making, or even delving into, is like, okay, gift, there's a connection to that and being free. And yeah, so the way they're translated is the assumption that you took a gift, give a gift, that's saying free. And yeah, I if I understood correctly, I appreciate some of the what I think I understand that Max is saying there is a gift free. If it's quote unquote freely given, is it totally free? And yeah, that's an interesting thing, but I think it's worthy of just looking like, okay, literally, what did Jesus say? You took a gift, give free, or give a gift. So anyway, I guess, oh, and then the other thought I had in mind too is, like, you know, the word charis, that quite often translators look at it and they go, okay, well, there's two meanings there. Is it, you know, they want to use the word grace, which I think is a little bit of an ambiguous word. In the same way, I think faith is a little bit of an ambiguous word. It's kind of, it's almost like a, what's one of those things that collect dust or something over time? They kind of just collect. It seems like both those words are kind of like that, which makes them a little bit kind of this fuzzy word. But yeah, and you know, an act of kindness, you know, charis, it could mean that. That's one side of the coin. You could say heads, and then tails would be the response to that, which would be gratitude, thanks. So sometimes it can mean thanks or gratitude. And I think I would argue that Paul specifically chose to use that word to describe his message, you know, this big point in his message, because of the double nature of this Greek word, that the Greeks invented the word. It's not like the Jews invented this word. It's like it's a Greek word that has this double meaning, that is the giver, you know, it's kindness. It's an act of generosity and kindness. And then the receiver, same word, you know, is thanks and gratitude. And I think that has implications on this whole idea, which I think kind of goes with what I thought I understood Max was saying. So anyway, some thoughts.
Good to hear your voice again, Brother Max, and thank you for a profound lesson. On the worldview, was it 3 years ago? Maybe. Stimulus check. Everyone here is getting a stimulus check from the government. A free gift, Norman, a free gift. And I know a couple of people didn't take it. Unfortunately, I confessed my sin, I took it, and we passed it around. Sorry, yeah, we passed it around to someone who needed it. But I admire the people that didn't take. There's no such thing as a free stimulus gift. Free enterprise, and you know the economy, it's free enterprise. Government doesn't have money. It gets its money from taxpayers, from free people who work. All of us work. They take our money, and then they give it. And they give it to nice causes, for food stamps and welfare and, you know, other Medicare, whatever. But the stimulus check was not free. It was taken from taxpayers' money. Okay. The spiritual view, and you didn't bring it up. I know you could have, Brother Max. Jesus said in John 8, verily, verily, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And then he says, therefore, the Son will make you free. You should be free indeed. And so we are made, we're all servants of sin, basically. Unless Jesus said, unless you believe in me, you'll die in your sins. So before we are baptized, converted, we are servants of Satan. The whole world lies in the hands of the evil one. And so we're servants of sin. You know how they say, Ray Comfort, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever lusted? You ever did this and that? Well, you're a sinner. And so, you know, you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. So we're all servants of sin, but, and you could have tied the knot for that, but Max, you did. You know, Jesus has set us free. And we can never thank him enough. The Lord be magnified.
Yeah, I appreciate the message as well, or the idea of giving freely. I just thought, there's not a single thing that I have that hasn't been given me. Excepting maybe, I thought, my will. I've been able to create things out of my will that But as far as anything that I have not. It's nothing that I created, nothing that I have. I have nothing that I could say that is mine, that I've created. It's not been mine, it never will be. So I don't even have anything that I haven't received. Whether it's our life, whether it's our body, whether it's our possessions, whether it's the earth, it's all been given to us. And God intends us to use it in a righteous manner. So when we give something, it's something we receive. If it's something we work for, which is good, we can do that, and we can give it away. But even that we received, we just have nothing that. So when we give away, we're giving something away we have received. Anyway, I'm not sure how that gets in the picture of being free, but we shouldn't have strings attached. I know somebody that give gifts to the children, and then when that person wasn't quite accepted the way they thought they should be, they said, "But I give you stuff. I mean, how come are you not?" They actually, that was strings attached. It was not a gift. It was not a free gift. It was a gift, but not a free gift. It was. There was an agenda behind it. And I appreciate it. May the Lord be with us.
I just feel like I should clarify something or point something out. So the way Brother Robert, he pointed this passage in John chapter 8. So the word there, eleutheros, where it's talking about somebody, the opposite of that or the antonym of that would be doulos, which is a slave. So, you know, either you're not a slave, meaning free, or you're a slave, one or the other. And it's in English, it's the word free, right? And the context, the way Max is preaching this message, despite the fact it's F-R-E-E of the subject matter, it's not this word here. So we're not talking about the same thing. I think it's really important to emphasize that the word gift in English or dorea in Greek, either one, is something that is given. Period. The context might imply that it's there's strings attached, or there might be context, you know, in a discussion, in a writing, whatever, that it's get that it's free or it's not free. But the word itself says nothing of whether it's free or not. It's something that is given. So, there's my thoughts. Just to be clear, like in English, I mean, it's really the same thing. So we got the action of giving, G-I, and then we put V-E, lets us know, oh, this is the action. Drop the V-E, put F, T, is what they've done. And now we're talking about what is given, right? Gift. It shares the same root of give. So it's give, gift, something that is given. And yeah, so to the point.